When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on a rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, giving 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 275th episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with the proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwitz, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I don't know if a lot of people know this. I don't know if I'm late to the party. Well, there's a lot of WrestleMania shows going on in GCW, right? And the GCW is doing a lot of shows. I don't usually watch these shows because I'm usually there, right?
Right.
So I'm sitting at home. And I saw Bloodsport was coming on, and I just went, okay, let me see how much it costs, because I've never watched a Bloodsport. So I've seen, like, highlights matches, but I've never watched the whole Bloodsport. Then I found out you can watch all the GCW stuff on Triller TV Plus. And I was like, I wonder how much this costs. It was $7.99. I was like, $7.99, and I get to watch all these shows on WrestleMania weekend? Guess what they offer with Triller Plus? A 7-day free trial. Hey, will WrestleMania be going on in 7 days?
Yeah, getting there, yeah.
No, see, it'll be over. I can literally watch all of WrestleMania weekend shows for free. All right. So I got Bloodsport on in the background right now, and it's actually pretty good. I'm pretty entertained, but I got to be super honest with you, because I am honest with our All Things Elite groups. People got there, and I was like, I knew it was going to bother me not being at WrestleMania. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the first time since 2013. That I have not been at a WrestleMania. That's a long time. Yeah, it's bothering me. I am doing what I try to do when I have negative feelings. I try to channel into positive emotions. So I am literally just putting it all behind. I'm literally putting it all behind, just hoping my friends have the most amazing time, liking the pictures, sharing all that stuff, because I'm really am. I want them to have a good time. But it's like, oh, Floyd, why didn't you make it happen? Financially, this was the best decision for me. It was. And I knew it was going to bother me, but I had to just, fucking live with it. But, yeah, it is bothering me not being there. And it's not even about the wrestling. Because, honestly, me and you were talking about it before the show started. I'm like, I'm excited for maybe 2 matches on the card. WrestleMania is nothing to, like that. I have all my friends that come in from the UK and all around the country. I actually have people that I have finally met people from Oklahoma that go to shows, and they're all going, and this is the year I'm not going. So, but no, and if anybody's done any research, the WrestleMania prices are disgustingly high. Disgusting. I made a decision. I mean, my energy is more towards AEW, and, we're the sickos or whatever, And that's where I'm trying to put my energy, you know. And even when I even say energy, when I say money. Because what we found this week is Triple H hates fans. And AEW actually embraces the sickos. So I think that should tell you, as a wrestling fan, where your money should go. Because Triple H basically just said, shut up and watch. And if you have any type of critique, he really wants you to shut the fuck up. And I don't have to say this. I'm not putting words in his mouth. He literally said it. He said, I wish I could tell them to shut the fuck up. Direct quote.
Yeah, that ain't verbatim. That is taken from the source.
I am not paraphrasing. I am not trying to make this man look bad. I've always been a friend of Triple H. He said this on WrestleMania weekend, the celebration of their most dedicated fan base. He says he wishes he could tell their fans to shut the fuck up.
My guy, listen, you know, we joke about it all the time, man. It's like, you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, just imagine for a second going into All In Texas. Imagine if Tony Khan said in a public forum, I wish I could tell fans to shut the fuck up. Imagine the field day that the internet would have if it was Tony Khan saying that. Just like not even trying to, again, it's wrestling. We're the proclivity for positivity. And we're the kind of people where, yes, we know it's competition, but you watch what you like. That's how we always feel. And dude, we're not dumb. Me and Floyd are both going to be watching WrestleMania weekend. It's what it is, you know? I got to see my guy wrestle anyway. But, like,
the first time I didn't watch Collision as it aired was knowing, well, actually, I think they did put it on early last year. So, I never had to, you know, so I generally don't pick anything over AEW. But if AEW put Collision on during WrestleMania, I'd be watching WrestleMania. Because it's WrestleMania.
So, yes. So we know what it is, dude. It's we watch wrestling. We are wrestling fans. Fans. Floyd says it, and he said it on Twitter. Keyword for fanatic. They are the people that are going to talk and critique and go over and overanalyze the shit that they love the most. And you want them to shut the fuck up? It's like, make it make sense, guys.
And I'll even tell, I didn't take it personally because he wasn't talking to me. I watch WWE like it's like 9-1-1 or a TV show. I watch it and it's over and then I move on. I don't get passionate about WWE.
I watch WWE. I watch WWE like I'm a LeBron fan and I only watch for LeBron. I watch for one guy.
Yes. And like I watch for, you know, and I watch the show and they do what they do and I don't feel any type of way about it. So, again, he wants me because I just watched the shit. But like I said, it sounds like he's saying, just shut up and give me your money. Yeah. And he tried to shape it in this way. And we're going to move on from this, but this was very interesting. He tried to shape it in a way like, if you go to the movie as a critic, you're going to be looking for what's wrong. And if you go as a fan, you're just going to enjoy it. I'm like, that is, tell Star Wars that, tell Star Trek that, tell Fast and the Furious that, tell any major series, tell the James Bond fans, tell the James Bond fans that what the mere rumor that they might cast a woman as James Bond. Was that a normal reaction? Was that a was that a fan reaction? Oh, the Cowboys draft, and when the Cowboys draft a wide receiver, when everybody should take their running back, do people just say, yeah, "I'm just gonna wait and see what happens"? Dude, yeah. The ESPN exists because of fans bitching.
Yeah.
Like, daytime ESPN, it's literally a bunch of sports writers bitching about sports.
It's the quick knee-jerk reaction. That's what it is, dude.
It's a billion dollar industry. Around the horn's been on 20-something years.
It's going to be canceled now.
And it was the same format for all 20 years.
Probably next.
And it was the same format for 20 years. Okay? And it worked for 20 years. Because people don't just watch. People want to have an opinion. People want to be heard. But yeah. Hey.
We're going to move off of this now. It was just interesting, you know?
Yeah, and it's just look, interesting.
We're not even going to get into the other stuff, because the way that company is speed running right now into the worst PR you could possibly have going into a WrestleMania weekend is quite interesting to watch from afar. You're basically like sitting from a distance and watching shit burn in terms of the social media backlash they're getting right now. We're not even going to get into the other shit right now.
It's hilarious to me because I'm not emotional about it.
No, we're just watching we are at a safe distance, kind of just watching shit, and people freak out, and we're just kind of sitting back, and we're away, we're in a safe distance, and we're just kind of watching everything go crazy. And we're just like, me and you are just sitting, we're shooting the shit over, like, basically a trash fire, like, kind of just happening.
Just watching it burn, you know, like the news. And it's just,
man.
But, again, I made this point on, and then we'll move on. They're too big to fail. They're going to make a billion.
For those people that they listen, Hunter told he wishes that fans could just shut the fuck up at times. AEW literally calls their hardcore fans sickos because they know who they're building their shows for.
And they do it sickos. For them. And they
and this week was for the fucking sickos.
This week was for the sickos. I'm glad we're moving past this, because this is one of the most exciting times for me to talk about AEW wrestling, because I got a big victory lap and I told you so I got a big I told you so. So let's go.
Yes. We're going to get into this, man. It is fucking spring breakthrough week. So let's get into the show. Before we get into the entirety of everything as we go over Dynamite and Collision, which actually just wrapped up a few hours ago when we recorded this. Guys, we appreciate the support. Continue to download this show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us on. And be sure to turn automatic downloads on. Share us around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. And rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And then if you want to follow us on social media, we are at ATElitePod on Twitter. At Social Suplex, to the guys that make this show possible. Please check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowicz, Sumowicz. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And also, folks, check out Chop Tees, shirts from Social Suplex and from this show. They will be in the links in the description of this podcast. You buy a t-shirt. Buy a t-shirt. Big news of the week now is that we're getting some worldly shows that we're getting outside of the U.S. for AEW. We've got a couple of spots that were announced. Obviously, with the future show, we got, of course, Forbidden Door that's going to be happening in London at Wembley. Is it Wembley Stadium again, or was it going to be
The
O2? The O2, that's right. Yeah, I thought it was the O2. Yeah, I didn't know for sure if they were doing Wembley again or if it was just the O2. They got a show that's going to be happening in Scotland. They got a show that's going to be happening in London. And, of course, they've got their new Mexico City show that they're going to be doing in collaboration with CMLL. So, like,
yeah,
we got a lot of big shows going. Like,
I got way too excited about Mexico. I'm looking up flights. I actually bought a flight just in case. And then I had this moment where I was like, Floyd, you still have All In. You still have Dallas Fan Expo where you're meeting John Cena. You see, and I started thinking of all the stuff I got.
You got
like,
Detroit,
and I was, you know, of course, you got Detroit, and I was like, "Motherfucker, why don't you make sure all this is settled before you decide you're going to leave the country?" And then I had this thought process because I bought the ticket because I had flight credit from another flight I bought.
Yeah,
and I had flight credit. That's one thing, and it was a fairly cheap flight, right? So I bought it just in case. So it's kind of a placeholder, because I don't know about you. I'm not going to a country where I don't speak the language by myself.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
I don't feel like, am I scared? No. But if you're thinking about, like, bad shit can happen and no one would know it happened. You know what I mean? Because I'm not with anyone. So no one would know it happened. So I would like someone to go. Right now, no one's going with me. So I'm it's like, it's honestly like 80-20 that I'm not going. But, you know, like I said, I pay with flight credit. I'll just get the flight credit back if I need to cancel. But I got super excited. And then they announced, tonight they announced another, the 4-hour live event that's happening in Portland. And that's happening the day after my birthday. And I was like, oh, I'll start looking at flights. And I was like, Floyd, you have told yourself that you can't go to everything. And it's almost like my body doesn't accept it.
Right.
I can make it. No, I can't go. I can't go. I have enough planned. I'm excited about what I have, and I can't go. But no, going to Scotland, it's going to be fucking dope. That's where this guy I met at in the UK at the Dynamite. At the Dynamite last year, he is from Scotland. Wrestling Mark, he's going to be there, and I'm excited for him. We got people from the Social Suplex that are going to be at the show. I'm sorry I'm not drawing right on his name, but I know he's going to be there. I actually got a picture with him in, but for some reason his name is blanking with me, so I just wanted to apologize for that. But he's going to be there. And then, of course, Forbidden Door from the O2, that's going to be amazing. And now they are going to be the first U.S. American wrestling company to do a live show from Arena Mexico. That's how tight the partnership with CML is. The first one ever. Before WWE, before Impact, before any American company. The first is going to be AEW to make this happen. And you noticed whenever I'm on the West Coast, they're in South Texas, their ROH shows, their collisions are always lucha heavy. They've been building this fan base in Mexico, trying to build this excitement for the show. So I think they're going to get a sellout in Arena Mexico. I'm looking forward to it. I would love to go, but, you know, not in the cards. But, yeah, I'm very excited for where AEW's headed. Again, you know, when you talk about the big scheme of things, you might want to talk about the numbers, blah, blah, blah. But it's like AEW has their niche. They have their spot in the wrestling world. They're not going out of business, you know? So I love this for them right now.
Yeah, no, it's, and again, we love it when we get some non-US crowds too for AEW, because they've gotten some really good crowds in London for when they go and do All In. The Australian crowd was incredible, obviously, singing Edge's Adam Copeland's theme. And as we all know from just recent wrestling history, man, foreign crowds be crazy. So I'm excited for this. I think they're going to have a lot of great shows for those. It's going to be fun just seeing them be able to make the trip over there for all these shows. But we're going to get into, of course, Spring Breakthrough Week. But we got to touch on one thing from last week's Collision. We have to talk about FTR got suspended, and we have some grievances, and I'm going to let my buddy Floyd go ahead and take control of this.
Unjustifiably suspended. So FTR got in a ring, said why they turned on a Cope, and they basically said Cope is selfish. Cope was holding them back. To try to forward his career, which is 100% correct. Everything they said was correct. Dax would never lie. So they said that, and then, you know, like we kind of predicted was going to happen, they found Tony Schiavone, and it was like, because Tony Schiavone brought up Dax's daughter. We said that was going to happen. So,
yeah.
So he calls Tony into the ring. Tony is like, you know, we heard you got something to say. And, of course, Tony did not back down like an intelligent man. These two people, I thought he was at the pay-per-view. I thought he was there and saw at Dynasty and saw what they did to Cope. But apparently he wasn't, because He decided to talk shit to Dak's face. Wrote a check his neck couldn't cash, and they were about to give him the old SPD. That's what I'm calling a spike pile driver from now on, just letting you know in case you hear it. They were setting him up for the old SPD, and Nigel jumps in. Old fragile Nigel jumps in, and I'm like, Nigel, what the hell are you going to do? I'm like, dude, you were just, like, retired until, like, 8 months ago. I mean, don't get retired again. Apparently he likes being retired. So, you know, okay, they didn't do anything to Nigel. He got a pass. They respect him. And then Daniel Garcia runs in, and he gets pushed down. But for the actions against Tony Schiavone, pretending like they were going to spike pile drive him, because, you know, they would never do such a thing. Ever, ever, ever. They would never spike pile driver Tony. They like him. They consider him a friend. They would never spike pile driver a friend over and over and over again. No, they would never do that. So they were suspended for a week. Now, my grievance is these are the men that this year, in this same calendar year of 2025, were literally kidnapped and held hostage by the Death Riders. And nothing happened to them. But FTR gets suspended. Why? Moxley literally tried to suffocate Bryan Danielson with a bag. Nothing.
Brother, man, I don't know what to tell you, man. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I'm like, these men have been right, like, I'm like, what's going on? Oh, Tony's a non-competitor. Yeah, but, I mean, when FTR got attacked, they weren't wrestling. That wasn't in a match. They got just kidnapped for no reason. So, again, this is the injustice for FTR. Dax took his 1 week vacation to Mexico to have some tequila and have a good time. So, you know, he took his 1 week vacation. But, and he took it a lot better than I did, okay? Let me tell you. I was ready to mess some people up. Like, what are we doing here? Okay, but FTR, good guys that they are, took their suspension. Cash is probably somewhere in the mountains where no one can text or call him, because that's kind of what he does. You know, Dax is in Mexico with the family, because that's what he does. So, yeah, it's good to know everything's okay. And, you know, we heard about it later. But, yeah, I can say about this. First of all, why would you get rid of your ratings draw? Highest collision rated collision of the year. How many segments was FTR in? 4. More FTR means higher ratings.
Yeah, I mean,
why would you shoot yourself in the foot? You know,
I'm just saying, man, you know, it you know, it's just some bullshit, man, because our boys out here, you know, finally in a position where they can be their true selves, and they're getting suppressed like this. I just don't know what it is, man.
Suppressed like this. And when they hand out, I mean, so first of all, Daniel Garcia tries to grab Dax from behind, and that was like, okay, Dax pushes him down, and Garcia acting like Dax did something wrong. I don't know where y'all are in real life, but if I'm in a heated confrontation with somebody and somebody grabs me from the back, that person's probably gonna get punched in the face, not pushed. Mm-hmm. But he managed to stay calm and just push him. Garcia got to know that's his fault. So they walking back to the stage. They're got their suitcases. They're leaving the building. You know? Like, oh, yeah. So 2.0 comes up to him and tries to start a fight. Now, I got a question. Do you remember the last time 2.0 won a match?
No, I do not.
Okay. So I don't understand why the commentator, Daddy Magic, because that's what he is. He's a commentator now.
At this point, yeah.
And then the dad, Angelo Parker, decided they wanted to mess with the best tag team in the world. And I was like, shit, AEW needs to increase the stretcher budget. The match then happens. Woo! Yeah, that was not pretty. And then everything FTR was doing was in the rules of the match. Then Daniel Garcia jumps in again. What the hell? It was in the rules. They were following the rules. They hadn't broke any rules. Daniel Garcia gets involved, and it was like, okay, the match is over. FTR wins. They're walking away, and they're like, then they thought about it. Why did he come jump in this? And they run back, and they have to put him down, too. They didn't want to put Daniel Garcia down. That's their boy. That's their young boy. They didn't want to put him down. But, you know, sometimes you got to teach children a lesson. And instead of a spanking, they just gave him one SPD. That's it. Just one. They didn't even give him two. They just gave him one. And then, for some inexplicable reason, the even more fragile than Nigel, Adam Cole, comes down to the ring, and he wants to get dropped. But FTR is like, okay, we're full. We've had our fill of the day. And they leave, respectfully. But the future is not looking good for, I guess they're calling themselves the Paragon. I don't understand having the same people in a group and just changing your name. But whatever. So they're the Paragon now. And it's just like, I mean, I am not a soothsayer by any means, or I am not a seer of the future, but I imagine some SPDs are going to get handed out towards their direction. And knowing Adam Cole, he might be out like a year and a half after one.
And we just got him back.
We just got him back. We don't want that to happen to you, Adam. We like you. So, okay. People are just, I don't know. FTR has been minding their own business. They had some little internal strife with Cope. They handled that. You know what? They did a favor. Cope came out of retirement to come to AEW, and they just put him back in retirement. No big deal. You know, they're done. They go, hey, go home, spend time with, you know, family. You know? And they did that nice thing for Cope, and I just don't understand what's going on. I heard people booing, and I'm just like, oh, I don't know what you're booing. You know, they are the ones that have been wronged, and I don't get it. So,
yep. So it's just a shame, you know.
Such a shame.
We're just out here, man. Tony Khan could do something about this. He's not doing anything, though, which is a shame.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, guys, you know.
Tony Khan.
FTR brings in the ratings, man. Don't be doing this. Don't be shooting yourself in the foot like this.
They're like, dude, don't do that. Hey, we could have just had a match. We could have had FTR versus Nigel and Tony. Tony wanted to talk like a wrestler, you know? Let him perform, you know? And then we would have saw how that worked out.
Probably how it works out for most other wrestlers going against FTR.
Yeah.
But yeah, so... Regardless, we're going to go ahead. We're just going to move on from that. Let's get into the show. Let's get into AEW Spring Breakthrough, which...
No hyperbole. I think was the greatest episode of AEW Dynamite ever.
I think it was definitely very much up there. I definitely have to go back and remember some of the, like, top-tier episodes from, like, back in the heyday. But it was definitely up there. And, of course, you know... This was a momentous occasion just in general because with this episode of Dynamite and this week of AEW programming, All Elite Wrestling is now the longest running wrestling product on Turner Broadcasting, longest running show. Surpassed WCW Nitro, and they didn't even need to bring it up by name because you knew what they were talking about when they mentioned that. And it's massive because, again, AEW was said to be dying every single day of every single month of every single year it existed. This was the end. This was the end of the company. This is when they would never come back. This is when the company had started out just selling T-shirts would eventually fall into the dirt. And now it's lasted longer than WCW Nitro. Like, guys...
Dude, like, as a person that watched every episode of Nitro, I can honestly say being able to pass Nitro without really having, they've had their times where it wasn't the greatest show. They've had down periods, but nothing as down as the down period Nitro had towards the end. And being able to last this long has been amazing. I know a lot of people took this as a shot to Eric Bischoff, which I'm not going to say it wasn't. That would be insincere to say it wasn't a shot towards Eric Bischoff. But I want to say, shouldn't it be celebrated anyway? Even if Eric Bischoff didn't hate AEW and wasn't trying to do it, why wouldn't you celebrate becoming the longest running show on there? We're 11 shows away from being at 300. AEW's 11 shows away from being at 300. Why wouldn't them as a company celebrate it? Now, like I said, I'm not insincere. I understand this was a dig at Eric Bischoff. But it was also doing a huge wrestling week. Mm-hmm. During this week, more eyes are on professional wrestling than any other time, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want to put on your best show?
Absolutely. And one again, too, guys. I mean, like, there was a period where there was literally no other way for wrestlers to get work unless they worked at WWE, and that was to make a living. If you were doing indies, you were living paycheck to paycheck. You were just trying to make sure you got by. And you were that's basically what it is. There is now actively a secondary place for you to go, a new line of work, a new place where wrestlers can get to work consistently. Hey. And that, again, is a good thing. So the fact that it has lasted longer than WCW Nitro shows that it's not a fluke, shows that it's not just, oh, another like little like maybe come in, get your money, and then get out. No. You can make a career here. That's what this is.
Your only option before AEW existed was to basically ask for your release from WWE, work a bunch of indies, and then work on your physique, and hopefully WWE build your name up, and hopefully WWE wants to bring you back. Now you have AEW as an option, and you can become Swerve, or you can become Ricochet. People that weren't seen as valuable in WWE, well, at least not valuable enough to keep, they've come in and found a resurgence in their career in AEW. So it's just, again, if you are a wrestling fan, there being a second national company should be like what you want. Because, again, this whole WWE boom, you know, kind of started with AEW kicking their ass. So I was like, I saw all the anger this week, and I was like, I posted on my wrestling rate, lots of pro wrestling anger, but we got to focus on there are two healthy national pro wrestling companies. You know, WrestleMania is this week. A lot of people are going. Cody Rhodes, my favorite wrestler, main event in his third WrestleMania in a row. FTR is back to the FTR that pretty much built their fan base. We get live pro wrestling every day this week. You know, AEW's expanding to Mexico. My own personal Jada Parker exists. That's just a thing for me. And fan with the capital F of her. Pro wrestling is as popular as it ever been. This is the most in my life. I lived through the Attitude Era. I lived through the Monday Night Wars. I know more people that I can have at least a semi-intelligent conversation about professional wrestling that I've had in my whole life. This is a week of celebration. AEW celebrating 289, that's like, we're here to stay. WWE is doing another WrestleMania, which is still probably my favorite thing in professional wrestling. You know, even if I'm not as into WWE as I used to be, it's still WrestleMania, right? So, dude, we're going to do the proclivity of positivity, and I'm going to focus on all the good things this week. And then AEW, this was a good thing. Now, did we have the added benefit of saying, fuck you, Eric Bischoff? Yeah, but I pretty much say, fuck you, Eric Bischoff, every day, whether it's episode 289 or not.
You know, that's something you could say pretty much.
Yeah, you don't really need to wait to 289 to say, fuck Eric Bischoff. I mean,
not really.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Rich Lowder's the music guy. Can we make a song called Fuck Eric Bischoff? Or, hey, can we call the song 289?
I'm just saying, man. but yeah, so moving from that, though, to the actual show, they kicked off this huge celebration of AEW and this huge celebration of this momentous week with a spectacular match and a spectacular showcase of AEW. It was the Women's Owen Hart Foundation Tournament. It was the semifinals, Mercedes Moné, the TBS champion, versus the Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, the forever Ring of Honor Women's World Champion, the fallen goddess, Athena. Spectacular match. So good. This showed people who have not been able to keep up with the Ring of Honor, guys, Athena is her. She was so fucking good in this. And Mercedes, too, was the perfect role for this match as well. I keep going back to the spot of her dancing on the apron over Athena, doing the CEO dance, and then Athena rises up and then does the stunner off of the apron. It was so fucking good. And the thing I love the most, too, about this match, more than anything, is there is absolutely room for a rematch.
Oh, dude. To me, and this is because this is the language we as wrestling fans speak, I'm going to use the Meltzer rating. To me, if you go anywhere from 4.5 to 5, I got no problem with it. I thought it was a 5. I thought it was, in my eyes, the perfect. To me, what a 5 is when the match matches the story, right? And the story is these two undefeated women's champions that haven't lost in forever fighting. And this match was so even. And it was so balanced. And they knew what was coming. They both tried to get their finishers on each other. And they never could really get there because, you know, they're who they are. They are them, you know. She is her. You know what I mean? Like, and then in the match, it was just Mercedes one step ahead of Athena. Got her. Athena was going for her, put it away with the O face. And, you know, the O got denied. The O got denied. And Mercedes wins. And all, you know, she didn't cheat. All Athena could do was, like, you know, you got me. You know, that kind of thing. And then she tweeted, run it back. And, God, I want to see this match every day. But what AEW did in this match, more than anything, they presented women in a way that I don't believe any other company is going to, no other company could put on this match.
Not even AEW in the past could have put on this match.
Because what has happened is, with Athena's winning streak, and 64-0, and Mercedes' winning streak, those both took years to come. They're, you know, like this is not something you can build in 6 months. This was built over years. Over a year for Mercedes, over like 3 years for Athena. Every time she won, every time she beat Billy Sharks, was all building to this match. And the match matched the build. You know? Yeah. They fucking killed it. Like I said, 5 stars. And I told people, I was like, man, I'll tell the point after a later part of the show because it'll make more sense later. But this was one of the perfect women's matches. I mean, no title on the line, just a spot in the next spot in the tournament. So it was perfect. So nobody had to lose their belt. So either one could have won this match. Very excellently done. Congrats, Mercedes. Congrats, Athena. Athena's one of my favorite wrestlers in the AEW, or, you know, AEW, ROH, ever. She's one of my favorite wrestlers. And it's like, it was proven why. And it was just like, no other team, and no company in America can put on a match like this.
Yeah, I mean, I just love the presentation of this match. The crowd was hot from the start, and it was just so back and forth, and Athena matching up perfectly with Mercedes Moné, and just, oh, man.
It went so long, I thought it might go to a draw. I thought it might go to a draw.
Literally, and now you understand why I was screaming so much for Athena to be able to do stuff on the main roster, was for this moment specifically. Like, this is what I'm talking about when I mean Athena on the main roster, because this is the type of shit she can do. And again, it's Mercedes Moné doing the best work that she's done since she's gotten in AEW, man. It's just spectacular stuff.
And all I got to tell people is I'm definitely never going to say complain. Not complain or not put your opinions because I'm not that guy. But I think AEW has earned a little trust because they waited. They waited on Athena, and they waited. They didn't pull her up and force her into a situation and say, okay, because she wins this much, she should be pulled up. They waited into the perfect spot, which is this, put it on and let her hit a home run. She made new fans last night. There are people that only knew her as Ember Moon last night that watched this show, and she became their favorite wrestler. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. No question about it. So, immediately off the gate, a hot start to this show. We then had a backstage segment with Hangman Adam Page that got interrupted by the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada. Basically, again, being like, hey, we accept your apology, which he never offered. And then saying, you know, hey, you're welcome for what we did to Swerve Strickland. And don't worry, we eventually want you to win and bring the title back to the Elite. And, you know, it's like, you know, hey, we'll see you later, man. We got to go do our thing. And then that's when Okada's like, why are you so angry? You got to smile more. And he doesn't really do it as he's just giving this fake smile. And he just calls him a bitch. And then Hangman gets in his face like, no, smile. And this, oh, Okada continues to be the best and only good thing about the Elite. But, you know, that what else is new? But I love the way Hangman was acting in this, too. I just loved how confused and utterly, like, dumbfounded he was with the damn Young Bucks in this. Which led immediately, though, into his quarterfinal match in the Owen Hart Foundation tournament against the wild card of the tournament.
That Floyd has been telling you who it is for, like, what, 6 weeks?
I would say, too, I jumped in on that, too, I think, as one of the people who said, hey, I think this could probably be it. So, but, yes, Floyd called it as well.
Yeah, like, I called it the day they announced the tournament. I was like, oh, that's going to be Josh Alexander.
Yep, it is Mr. Josh Alexander, the walking weapon.
Probably one of the better nicknames in wrestling.
Really,
you're a walking weapon. They're like, there's not a better nickname in wrestling. There's a lot of good nicknames. I mean, I think you can find stuff that's equally as good, you know, like the god of professional wrestling. But the if you're a wrestler, you want to be a walking weapon. That's what you want to be. I just think his name is pretty. I always thought his name was really cool. And, I mean, he's an excellent professional wrestler.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He is great. And he got to go up against Hangman Adam Page as he is officially all elite. And he did a damn good job in this match, too. I thought this was really, really strong. I thought just, you know, there's been some really good names that have been brought in. Because, I mean, you got to think about it. Kevin Knight getting brought in. Speedball Mike Bailey getting brought in. And then you've got Josh Alexander. It's been exciting seeing the new guys that have been coming in here, man. It's been really fun to watch. And, you know, honestly, man, it's just, it's so cool.
And the people they brought in match the identity of AEW.
Exactly.
They could all go. You know what I mean? They're like, they could all go. Is Kevin Knight the greatest on the mic? Hell if I know. Josh Alexander? Yeah, no, he's good. I know a lot of people don't watch Impact.
Stephen Chase, too, man. It just seemed like as the match went on, he just kept getting, like, he just clicking and moving through and getting faster and faster, man.
Dude,
it was like,
I've seen him against Takeshita and Kenny Omega, which, I mean, they're Takeshita and Kenny Omega. And this dude held his own, and this match was, it was a taste. This to me wasn't Hangman and Josh Alexander in their final form. This was just a taste of what could come between
And you
these
thought,
things.
Yeah, as it was getting to that point where you thought maybe they'd kick it into a different gear, that's when, you know, they're like, no, not yet.
Yeah, we're just giving you a taste. We want you to want it. You're gonna okay. We're giving you a lot on TV tonight, so we're not giving you this all the way. But we're gonna give you a taste, and then you're gonna probably have to pay for it the next time. You know, exactly. Next time is gonna probably be on a pay-per-view.
Pretty much. So, but yeah, no. So really, really good stuff. After the match was over and Hangman got the win, getting a small package, Don Callis and Kyle Fletcher come out. They're talking shit, and then that's when they start brawling. But then all of a sudden, Don Callis starts whispering into Josh Alexander's ear. He jumps in the ring, knocks down Adam Page, hits a powerbomb on him. Kyle Fletcher then hits a brainbuster. Folks, we got a new member of the Don Callis family, and it's another Canadian. We got our boy Josh Alexander in the Don Callis family.
And I will tell you, and again, for the people that are experiencing Josh Alexander for the first time, you're like, man, that was a quick heel turn. He worked his character, how he wrestles, his style, to me, works better as a heel. It's like, it just does. He's more of a ground-based. You know, when you're looking at AEW, you know, the most popular wrestlers are more like up-tempo, fast-paced wrestlers. Josh Alexander can wrestle with that style, but his style is more submission-based. Of course, he wears the amateur. He wears the amateur hair gear, so it's more of an amateur style. It does work better as a heel, in my opinion. I am not speaking like some expert. It's just my opinion. His whole presentation works better as a heel. So I thought this was an excellent move.
Yeah, I would agree, too, because he already looks evil and angry like when he gets the headgear on, so... You know, I would agree with that, too. And I think this is a good spot for him, too. I mean, just it makes the Don Callis family no joke. It feels way bigger now. It feels real bigger, especially after this entire weekend's over.
I mean, if you look at the Don Callis family at this moment, at this time, they have three of probably the top 20 wrestlers in the world. That's some pretty impressive faction right there.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's going to be dangerous stuff, man. It's going to be dangerous stuff. We then had the patriarchy backstage as Christian Cage came up to Nick Wayne, said, "Daddy's home." And then Nick called him out, basically being like, you know, you didn't stick to the plan because you couldn't live with yourself if Cope became a champion before you did. And Christian just said that was an assumption, not a fact. But he did say he was impressed with what he did while he was away. So he took it upon himself to get him a spot in a tournament in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament in New Japan. But first, you got to face Commander tomorrow, one of the best Super Juniors, for the Ring of Honor Television Championship. And I know my baby boy would never intentionally let his father down. So setting up a big match on Collision Spring Breakthrough.
Yes.
And then we move.
Oh, I just thought this was really cool because Nick Wayne, I can't say he needed to develop on the mic because they just never let him talk. He does seem like a natural promo. He seems a very natural promo. And the time with Christian away has let him talk. And I think, you know, you've seen it. That if he wasn't there, he's starting to get there. And he just seems so natural on the mic.
Oh, yeah. And he's my best friend. Yeah. Because I met him on the Jericho Cruise, and we're best friends, basically.
Yes.
We then moved into the World Tag Team Championship match between the Hurt Syndicate and the Gates of Agony. Pretty solid match, honestly. Kind of went through relatively quickly.
Dude, and I like how this was booked, because the Gates of Agony was kicking their ass at first.
Yeah.
They came
in. They were getting some good stuff in.
Because what has the story that's been told with the Hurt Syndicate, and I'm keep it short, is that they attack their opponents first, and then they pretty much dominate the match. Gates of Agony, from the beginning, came out the gates, no pun intended, really quickly, and kind of jumped them before the Hurt Syndicate could jump them.
Yes. Match itself, like I said, was pretty okay. The Hurt Syndicate still remain undefeated. They still keep their tag team titles. That is when MJF comes out, and he's still trying to make sure he gets into the Hurt Syndicate. He wants to get a way to secure himself some muscle so that way he can get a chance to get back towards his Triple B. So he is not going to say die. He is not going to be denied in terms of being brought into the Hurt Syndicate. So he has gone a completely different direction in terms of trying to appease to the Hurt Syndicate. He goes, listen, I've got some people that are just dying right now because I bring a lot to the table, and I got some people that, you know what, you're going to like this. He says, bring them out. And a load of women come out. Very beautiful women come out. And MJF basically says, a night out with these lovely ladies is all yours if I just get three thumbs up to join the Hurt Syndicate. The biggest bribe that this man has tried to offer, just full on, you know, and he said it on Twitter too, you know, respect sex workers. This man is trying to use the long-standing work known as prostitution to get his man into the Hurt Syndicate. Shelton was like, listen, I need more time. And he's like, wait, are you talking about my watch off of my wrist? And he's like, yes, I'm talking about your watch. And he's like, okay, I'll give you this watch. Just give me a thumbs up. Shelton teases like he's going to do it, but then doesn't do it as he looks at Bobby Lashley and turns his thumb down and goes, you know what? I think I'm growing on you, Shelton. And you know what? Here's this watch. And matter of fact, you can have these ladies. And just know when I join the Hurt Syndicate, there's going to be more where that came from. And Bob, I respect you, but I'm known for getting what I want because I'm MJF and I'm better than you and you know it.
Shout out to Bobby Lashley. He's the only person that seemed to watch AEW before he got there. Because yeah. MJF tried really hard to join a faction before, called the Inner Circle.
Yes.
When you golf in Missouri, the courses are so close, you'll spend more time on the fairway than the freeway. Reserve a tee time at the Regal Osage National, designed by the king himself, Arnold Palmer. Take a cart ride on the wild side in the breathtaking surrounds of Payne's Valley, designed by Tiger Woods. And after the back nine, there's still world-class dining and distilleries, shops and spas, museums and more. Find your new golf MO in Missouri. Start planning your golf getaway at visitmo.com.
And he got in, and the first night, he literally turned on the Inner Circle.
So meanwhile, Shelton was just too busy chatting it up with the ladies behind them. Like, he's literally just chalking it up and everything like that. And I'm just like, man, you don't know what's going on.
Oh, Shelton is me, because
yes.
What MJF did would have worked. My thumb would have been up. He's like, oh, ladies, thumb up. There you go. Watch. There you go. Yeah, no, like, no, watch? No, no. Shelton held out longer than me because I wouldn't have got to ask him for the watch. He would have already got the yes for me. I'm a lot easier.
Is it weird that I'm not exactly sure if I'm, like, into this anymore? Specifically, like, this MJF and Hurt Syndicate stuff. I like it because it's Hurt Syndicate doing stuff with, like, massive like, MJF's one of the biggest stars in AEW. And I like the fact that they're doing stuff with MJF. But it feels like we spent so much time getting MJF to, like, you know, he comes back and he's not, he puts it down like, hey, I'm not doing this fucking hokey shit anymore. I'm not doing this whole kangaroo kick nonsensical bullshit. And now we have him pandering to the Hurt Syndicate, trying to get them to get him to join their group by bringing out a shitload of ladies and stuff like that. And also hiding behind the barricade and, like, jumping and doing the We Hurt People chant in the crowd. He's doing a lot of hokey shit, I will say, just when he said he wasn't going to do any more hokey shit is all I'm saying.
I don't feel like this is hokey. I feel like this is MJF reset back to factory default. That's what I feel like. Mm. This is, we went a certain way. It didn't work. There was this MJF that everyone loved. Let's reset to that. And if you could tell by the reactions that he was getting, they have successfully reset him. People were eye-rolling MJF, what, a month and a half ago? Like, oh, my God, not this again. And he was kind of unserious, and a lot of people didn't think, for a problem, a lot of people thought he might have lost the AEW fan base. And over these last few weeks with these vignettes, it looks like he's got him back. I can tell you, when I'm in the Discord for AEW in the Social Suplex Discord, go ahead and join. They seem to be leaning towards loving MJF and loving these segments.
I was a little indifferent towards it, I guess, more so.
Because, you know, I always say I like my 80-20 wrestling. I mean, I like 60-40 wrestling. I like it to be like 60% wrestling, 40% entertainment, WWE style. And I do think this is a, it's not really a WWE storyline. There's a kind of a WWE presentation with it, but it's really the Inner Circle story being told again, right? But with much more intimidating figures, because I can think of a lot of people I would be willing to cross in this universe. Bobby Lashley's not on that list. So the fact that MJF thinks he can, you know, kind of do this with him, and kind of MVP's on his side, but MVP, I love him. It's such a unique character. I can't change Lashley's mind. I can't change Sheldon's mind. But what I can do is give you the tools and the information to maybe you can change their mind. Because MVP definitely believes in the hard democracy. And I think this is a different presentation than I've ever seen with a faction. And I think the MJF being a part of it is another thing. Also, I have this hope of where it's leading. No one has said where it's leading. But I have a hope that it's kind of going to lead to the exact same place that the Inner Circle led.
Basically, the formation of a brand new faction.
No,
out of it.
Not a brand new faction. No, I don't want a brand new faction. The same exact faction. The Pinnacle. MJF, FTR, Wardlow. I want the same
exact. You want the exact same faction.
MJF, and I've mentioned this, MJF and FTR haven't been on the same side of the world in a long time. So they're on the same side of the world, and Wardlow's away, so you can literally put them anyway. So my hope, my deep hope that, again, no one has told me this is going to happen. No insider information. If I end up disappointed in any way, it is my own fault. I am fantasy booking a reformation of the Pinnacle. And with every segment and every time they say no, it feels like we're going to reform the Pinnacle.
All right. Well, there you go. Again, I'm whatever on this right now. Maybe I'll turn around on it later, but I'm just kind of whatever on it. Alicia Tout, MJF's actual fiance, I was backstage trying to get word with the Hurt Syndicate. Bobby was like, "Yes, no, I know you don't trust MJF," and MVP was like, "I know you don't trust MJF. This is business, and we can use him to get what we want. Just ease up a little bit." But
I think the best part of this is about this whole thing, even with this part, is they are firmly setting up that the Hurt Syndicate is face.
Right.
And because, you know, with the Hurt people, I do think the fans turned them. I think they were going to just be a heel team. But the fans, we Hurt people. Yeah, I think they are much more set up as faces. And if you're going to be a face group, you kind of need a face, a heel group to go up against. So, like I said, I have this all planned out down the road, and I'm not going to break it down to everybody because I don't want to, like, I feel like if I say everything that I think is coming, it's going to jinx it. So I'm holding it in tight. But, yeah, I think we would be looking at a pretty spectacular summer if it works out the way I want it to.
All right. We then move into the semi-main, the Owen Hart Men's Tournament semifinal. Kenosuke Takeshita versus Will Ospreay 2. Floyd's match of the year from last year.
Thank you. I'm glad you remembered, because I'm literally on the phone with JR. I spent roughly 3 or 4 hours on the phone last year, and I was like, he's like, "Didn't they wrestle last year?" I was like, "You mean my match of the year? You mean the match I've brought up to you like 100 times and talking about it was one of the best matches I've ever seen live? You mean that match?" "Oh, yeah, that match." I was like, yeah. Yeah, they did wrestle last year.
Oh, JR.
I was ready to punch him. I really was. He brought some violent tendencies out of me. I'm like, "Dude, I've talked about this match incessantly. What are you talking about? I am sick of me talking about this match."
Yep. And, oh, my gosh. Well, I will go to you then, first of all, on this. Did the sequel surpass the original to you?
I don't think it surpassed the original, but I think it's right there. Oops, they did it again. I mean, honestly, I could not argue that these are not the two best in-ring workers in the world. I mean, Kenny Omega is at, you know, right there. So if you put like, oh, Kenny Omega's one or Kenny Omega's two, you want to mix those three people in any mix you want. Yes. And my only proof is anytime they wrestle each other. Every time these three people have wrestled each other since they got in AEW, it's been a five-star match. Every time. They got 5.5. Meltzer put out his rating early. It's 5.5. Because this match was probably the best American, well, like, for me, the best American male singles match, singles TV match I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, dude, these guys are absolutely unbelievable in terms of just their work rate, in terms of their ability.
Dude, there was some sloppiness, and they flipped it into awesome shit.
No, for real. I mean, dude, and then the fucking... the ending, I started laughing at the false finishes because I'm just like, yeah, of course you're going to kick out of this. Of course you're going to do this. Because it's just like, that's what these guys are. You know, they're just... Will Ospreay says he's on another level, and I ain't going to tell him differently.
Dude, because... if he's on another level, Takeshita joined him last night. Because, yeah. Dude, no one carried this match. These are two people that are... masters of their craft, having the best match they could together, and man, that you know, and then it finishes with my favorite Ospreay move, the Stormbreaker. I know people like the Hidden Blade. I'm a Stormbreaker guy, and you know, dude, them hitting each other's moves. Will Ospreay hitting the wheelbarrow into the German. Oh my God, that was fucking amazing. And then Takeshita hitting the Hidden Blade, and I'm just like, why is this not the main event of All In? I mean, that's the whole thing. That's how I think of, it's like, dude, this match is perfect. This match was perfect, but they still haven't got the setting that they deserve. You know, like the first match was on Revolution. This match was on Spring Breakout, and they've killed it. When Ospreay or Takeshita is the champion, and they do this as the main event of the PLE, they might break 7. They might break it. Because they are going to take that main event spot, and they're going to do what they've done, and they're going to turn it up another level. And they might hit 7. And that is an ungodly expectation that I would never put on anyone else or never hope for. Because... you have to be of a certain ability to be in that conversation. Kenny Omega and Okada, when they got their number, this was, like, I think their, like, fourth match built up over years, Kenny Omega failing, and they came out and said, boom. I feel like there's another level to this, which I can't even imagine what it is, but, oh, my God, these... so fucking good. Takeshita has the double contract, and there's some stuff going on with New Japan. Belt this man up and let him carry your company.
I'm right there with you, dude.
Why not? He is the next Okada. You know,
he's crazy, man. He's nuts.
He is what you need. I've never seen him have a bad match. Not once. Since I discovered who he was, I've never seen this man have a bad match. My love for him grows every time I watch him wrestle.
Yeah, bro. I mean, for real, I can't get over it. I mean, they literally had the spot, dude, when Ospreay got hit with a massive forearm and then kicks out at one, and then Takeshita kicks out at the Hidden Blade at one, and then literally they run at each other and they pass out basically because of just the full-on like energy that they've just exhausted. It's great, man. It was absolutely great.
I could see young people trying to copy shit that they did and looking terrible. Like, that's how good they are. They pull off spots that only them two can do. And that was the thing with Kenny Omega and Okada, which is my only comparison, is that they did stuff in their match. They put stuff together that, like, literally two other people could go put it together. It's not going to look as good.
Yeah.
This was... fucking amazing. On another level, this is, I'm like, if somebody was like, okay, What's different about AEW than any other place? I'm not going to even say the other company. What's different than any other place? This match is what makes them different. In essence, the number one player wrestler from New Japan 2 years ago and the number one wrestler from DDT 2 years ago on a television match on Dynamite that comes with your cable subscription, because this is not free TV. It comes with your cable subscription. It comes with your HBO Max. You got to watch this without paying $49.99. One of the best matches you'll see this year. It is on the match of the year list. And to add to this, why it's specially for AEW, in one night, you have probably got a candidate for your women's match of the year and a candidate for your men's match of the year, and it's April.
Yeah.
On Dynamite. On an episode of Dynamite. Give me an episode of TV from any other company where you had two match of the year contenders. Ever.
Can't think of many, dude. I can't think of many.
Again, I was excited to talk about this. If you can't hear it. This is like, I do think we got a little bit of ways to go, but this was the feeling. This is 100% the feeling. This is wrestling heroin. Put it in my fucking veins. Yeah. This is why I'm a wrestling fan. This night is why I'm a wrestling fan.
Oh, I mean, dude, this is the stuff that we live for, dude. We live for this shit.
I don't think I could get high on actual cocaine as high as I got from that show last night.
For real? For real?
Dude, I couldn't sleep this morning because I wanted to watch it again. Like, this morning, like 10 hours later, I was having a problem sleeping. Because this show was so good.
Yeah, and we'll get now to the main event portion of it.
And this wasn't the main event!
Yeah, exactly. Then they had this finish to it.
And this is my victory lap after you talk about this match.
Yeah, okay. We'll go with your victory lap. So, the Death Riders, Jon Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Wheeler Yuta defending the Trios Championships against Samoa Joe, Katsuyori Shibata, and Powerhouse Hobbs, filling in for a Hook with the ops.
Who's in the profile picture of my Twitter and has been that way for 2 months?
It has been Mr. Hobbs.
You could not find a more perfect person to replace Hook. And if you want to go like, why does this make sense in kayfabe? They were both in Team Taz. They actually have a relationship. And they never, when the Team Taz stuff happened, they never turned on each other. They just kind of quietly went their separate ways. So him stepping in for Hook actually makes sense in wrestling.
Yeah. Dude, and two, he's just a killer. You know what I mean?
Oh, dude. If you're looking up the definition of op in the dictionary, you see Will Hobbs with that smirk on his face, because that dude is walking, talking, anyone can get it.
Oh, yeah. For facts. For facts, bro. And having Hobbs in this match, and he went directly after Yuta, just like healing him, and the crowd was eating it up. Like, they were so happy that Yuta was getting just decimated by Hobbs in this match. Really physical stuff. There's pure frustration too from Moxley getting a steel chair because of how stuff just was not going their way. Willow Nightingale comes out and takes it away from her and flips off Jon Moxley. Nice spine buster from Hobbs to Claudio, and that's when Joe knocks down Moxley. But you know, everything wasn't going well, so who comes in to try to ruin it all? The EVPs, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, the Young Bucks. Matt goes to grab a steel chair, but then from the crowd, Mr. Swerve Strickland.
Oh, my God.
Buck Hunting season. It is time.
Did you hear that pop?
Oh, my God, Swerve, bro.
That pop? If you question whether Swerve is a star, Just go back and watch that pop.
You can go ahead and look at that.
Just look at that. Like, if you like, oh, he's kind of a star. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fuck Booker T. Just throwing that out there.
You know, he threw it out there. You can go ahead. Crowd goes nuts. He swerve stomps both of them. Shibata then puts Claudio in the sleeper up top and then hits a PK. Yuta tries to go and dive to the outside, but Hobbs throws him through the announcer's desk. Marina Shafir gets involved, hitting Hobbs with a steel chair, but then Willow takes out Marina. Chaos all around. Then that's when Moxley gets caught up into a submission by Joe, and Moxley taps out.
I thought he put him to sleep. I thought he put him to sleep.
He did. No, I think he tapped out.
Okay. Well,
or at least that's what the website says. I'm pretty sure I remember that he
I'm down. I thought I for whatever, some reason how whatever I remembered the it. Case, yeah.
Whatever the case may be, he took the fall, basically.
Yes.
When you thought Yuta was going to be the one to lose the trios titles for them, Moxley is the one that gets beat by Samoa Joe, and now the Ops are your new AEW World Trios Champions. And
the eruption when the three hit, and then everybody walked out. Everybody in Boston, how excited that was!
Oh, dude! I mean, Boston got a night of amazing wrestling, dude.
And that's how you, again, build fans, because there's some people that were probably experiencing AEW for the first time, and guess what? They're gonna make sure they're there. They're gonna make sure they're there again.
You know? Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And also, as a definitive hater of the Death Riders, it was a good day for me, and a hater for the Young Bucks too. Just a good day for me too. So
this is where I do my victory lap. And in January, when everybody was shitting on this, I said, you got to eat your vegetables. I kept saying it. You got to eat your vegetables. Last night was the dessert. Last night was the strawberry cheesecake. You do not get that reaction for a trio's title change without the months of eating the Death Rider shit. It all built to that one moment. And it was fucking amazing. They had to follow Will Ospreay and Takeshita, and they did.
The crowd was still, yeah, I will give them that, dude. The crowd was still crazy.
Shout out to Boston. They were amazing. But the reason it worked is because you had to eat all the Death Rider shit for months. That is how heel factions work. You have to get sick of them. Then when the other team comes and finally overcomes it, and everybody finally gets it together on that one night and takes them down, you get this a massive reaction and emotional point. Will Hobbs, that moment when Samoa Joe hands him the belt, and it's like, you an op now, basically.
I feel bad for Hook. I wish he was in this spot, obviously, but, you know.
Yeah. Again, this is my victory lap, because I told you all this was coming. This moment doesn't happen if Death Riders win the belts last week and then lose them this week. You had to get to the point where you're like, fuck these guys. Then it was great. On a lower level, this is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn finally beating the Usos.
Right. Or Sami Zayn just winning against Pac, actually.
Yeah. Or that's what I'm saying. It's just such a...
Yeah, it's just something that's... Yeah, I know what you mean.
You just had to eat that shit, unfortunately. And did it make for the greatest television? No. I said it sucked.
But yeah, we were eating dirt for a bit, yeah.
Yes. I said it sucked. But it was building to something. And it was perfectly done with the right group. Dude. This was amazing. I'm like sitting there like watching it like I told y'all. This is wrestling. This is what I grew up on. Right? When Ric Flair and the Horsemen cheated forever, and then somebody finally beat Ric Flair, and it was this emotional outpour, and it was just like, oh my God, the world is right because the Death Riders have lost. That means they did their job.
There you go. And we'll carry this right into Spring Break through Collision, because the Death Riders were pissed. Coming through and destroying cameras and destroying and assaulting the crew. And listen, man, as a guy who carries around cameras for a living, dude, I can't, that pissed me off more than anything, because those cameras, dude, like, the fact that they were breaking those, dude, I know how much those cameras cost. I know how much, like, as me as a kid, I protect my camera that I use for work with my life. Like, I would take a basketball to the face and get tackled before I make sure that my camera gets broken, basically, because I ain't going to let that happen. So the fact that I saw those guys running through and just destroying everything, very much was like, these motherfuckers, how fucking dare you, you pieces of shit.
I love that, because that, you know, in those, it's those moments where, you know, like, I might pop for something because it's personal to me. I love that you had that, like, only you and a certain amount of people are going to really pop for that moment or really get pissed off by that, because I didn't think about it twice. But when you said it, now I'm a little angry.
Yeah, dude, you don't do that. You just don't do that. Moxley gets on microphone and says, basically, everyone who's celebrating, you know what, you can enjoy it for now because it's the last chance you're going to have for a long time. Now, listen, Young Bucks, after last night, I've officially decided I don't like you two, so you can stay in your own lane and stay out of our way. And he goes, you know what? There was only one undisputed baddest man in professional wrestling when I first started in this sport, and it was Samoa Joe. I've shown him respect. I've treated him with reverence. I've given him space, and he could have stayed that way, but you had to have gotten in my way, and now you started something that I have to finish, because I don't know any other way. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to roll over or die, so I'm going to fight you to the death for the world championship, because I don't know any other way. So listen, I am challenging you, Samoa Joe. You know exactly what you're dealing with, so Joe now looking like he's going to have to try to be the guy to beat Jon Moxley. And Moxley, more so than any, is getting his get back with this regard, because Joe beat Jon Moxley, and it's not going to stand, unfortunately. Joe, I think, is going to feel the worst of Jon Moxley in this, but I'm very excited, because this is the type of opponent, actually, that has me very excited when it comes to Jon Moxley, because Joe and Moxley is something that I can very much sink my teeth into and I can be very excited about. So I'm actually all for this.
Dude, this match is going to be so physical, and it's going to be just hard hitting. Like, I don't think it should go more than 10 minutes, because they're going to throw bombs at each other and they're going to be trying to choke each other out. And there is a match style that is perfect for them, and a 20-25 minute epic in that style. I mean, you want all their big bombs and then one guy to just win. So, you know, that's how I, you know, whatever. But I love this about the Death Riders. There are chicken shit heels, and then there are the Death Riders. They want to fight just as bad as you do. They're not running from anyone. And I dig that. I dig the energy. I dig how it's presented. He's just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just going through the show, too, it was just another really, really solid day of wrestling, I feel like, for AEW, just carrying everything over. We had another great performance from Kevin Knight as he got to go up against Lance Archer. And that dude, man, he's getting a good amount of reactions. I like his look. I like his presentation. I like his wrestling. And Lance Archer was a great guy to go up against him for a big towering guy for him to go up against. I like this dude. I'm digging the fact of, like, Kevin Knight and guys like him and Speedball Mike Bailey are really getting some shine right now, some, like, youth being, like, energized into this AEW roster. I feel like it's been, especially guys that are more so, you know, some people may know them in other parts of wrestling, other people may not, and I think it leads to a lot more of excitement when it comes to the new faces that are coming in.
Yes, absolutely. Kevin Knight is one of those people I had saw wrestle maybe once or twice, and I saw the athleticism. But in this match, I really did see the footwork, and I don't think the wrestling is the stuff that he's going to have to catch up on. He seems to have the wrestling part down. Now, like the other, you know, the mic work and the energy. Actually, I saw a lot of natural charisma. I like him. I like him. I was kind of in the middle on him. I didn't dislike him. I didn't like him. It's leaning towards like now. And I like how he's been presented. I like this match with Archer. Archer is just solid. Solid anytime. You need a monster for somebody to overcome, we call Lance Archer. You need somebody to get dominated by a monster, call Lance Archer. Lance Archer is a utility big man, and so he deserves all the props for making Kevin Knight look as good as he did in this match.
Yeah, I give him props for that, too. We then had a little bit of an apology letter that was written to Tony Schiavone and Nigel McGuinness from FTR. And they just laughed it off, and they threw it away and shit like that, dude. I mean, like, guys, like, this is why Dax has to take matters into his own hands, because you're acting like this.
He put his heart in his hand on that paper, and he's like, hey, they weren't going to even SPD Schiavone. They were just trying to scare him a little. And then Nigel got it, and they respect him too much because they know that he can't beat FTR. I mean, they didn't say anything untrue. They know he can't beat FTR because he's fragile. You know, he does magic. You know, nobody that does magic is going to beat up FTR ever, okay? No. What the fuck, you think you David Blaine? They will make your neck disappear, okay? So, again, they heartfelt apology that really wasn't deserved because Tony Schiavone started it and Nigel jumped into something that wasn't his business. So FTR was the victim, but they apologized because they are the bigger man.
I mean, just show your respect, guys. Show your fucking respect.
Yes.
We had a really fun tag match with Josh Alexander and Kenosuke Takeshita going up against Tomohiro Ishii and Rocky Romero, which also had a shocking moment, too, because as Rocky goes and tries to help, there's a point where Ishii accidentally goes into Rocky Romero, and he goes and accidentally knocks him down, and Rocky Romero does not accept the tag from Ishii and leaves him in the ring to get powerbombed and pinned by Josh Alexander, and he was going to go apologize, but then somebody in a hoodie comes in and proceeds to jump Ishii, and it's Trent Beretta. It's Trent coming in and helping team up on Ishii, and that's when Rocky Romero holds up Ishii while Trent hits him in the back with a plumber's wrench. And the Don Callis family gets the returning Trent back in their lineup because he's been gone for a minute. But then Rocky Romero all of a sudden, too. So, like, shit is changing fast for the Don Callis family.
Shit is changing fast for the Don Callis family. And I feel like I would not call it an upgrade, but they definitely didn't downgrade. Okay. It was, you know, you did not add Trent. You brought Trent back. He was in the Don Callis family before he got hurt.
Yeah, exactly. He's just back.
And then you added the plug, Rocky Romero. The guy knows everybody in wrestling. If you want anybody on your side, it's Rocky Romero. He's the voice of New Japan. He's the voice with CMLL. He's the voice in AEW. Dude, he is the utility player of this wrestling. So you definitely want Rocky Romero on your side. Look at that group. Look at that group. Who fucking with him? First of all, there's a lot of people in it. Second of all, you know, everybody in the group can go. Everybody can go in the group.
Oh, yeah. So, like I said, it's a very, very intriguing time for the Don Callis family, I will say. We then... quick little squash match with Megan Bain beating two jobbers, but then the open challenge for the TNT Championship held by Adam Cole, and it's against Claudio Castagnoli of the Death Riders.
And as soon as they did that, I was like, oh God, are they gonna is Adam Cole going to lose his title after 1 week?
Yeah, I was like, are they really going to try to get some gold back on the Death Riders just to be able to make sure they have a little bit of get back? It wasn't the case. But, you know, I will say this was a nice little really entertaining match between these guys because, I mean, dude, these two guys are just legends when it comes to just wrestling all together. It was just Claudio dominating a good amount, some quick little comebacks that would not last very long, putting Adam Cole as the underdog, and the size difference helped. But then very, very nice stuff. The spot where I'm pretty sure, like Claudio uppercuts into the LED board was also a nice little touch, I thought was pretty cool. And yeah, dude, I mean, this was a very, very good defense from Adam Cole. Claudio actively getting cradled up, and he's still mad and continues to break shit because the Death Riders just keep breaking shit. And I thought that was very funny. And yeah, nice title defense from Adam Cole. And Death Riders is out still. They're going to be getting their get back, dude. I'm telling you. Like, this ain't going to be something that lasts long.
So, sicko thoughts from the sicko. Why, when, what is it about the TNT title that once you become champion, you can't ever just beat anyone? You have to win by roll-up.
I don't know.
Like, I don't know if y'all remember Daniel Garcia's run. Literally, he won every match by roll-up. So as soon as you become champion, you forget how to, like, hit your finisher and just pin them? Like, I don't know what's going on here. Yeah. I was like, you know, I understand you were trying to build up the frustration with Claudio, but I was like, maybe go with someone else so, you know, Adam Cole can just win. But no, it's like, I feel like you should start, like, if you're doing an open challenge, you should get, like, 7-8 weeks into the opening challenge before you have to start winning every match with a roll-up because you've been beat up that bad. But this was, like, match one, title defense one, and he wins by a roll-up. I don't know. Don't mind roll-ups in general. I'm actually pro roll-up in wrestling, but it just feels like when you do it too much, it feels like you're telling the same story. So you had this roll-up. You had, you know, Mercedes beat Athena with a roll-up. It's like, okay, it's a lot of roll-ups. It's a lot of roll-ups.
Yeah. And it's Adam Cole, a guy who could very, very much win definitive matches because he's Adam fucking Cole.
Yeah, so, you know, have him do the thing, hit the little boom thing, and then go 1, 2, 3, and as he's hitting 3, Claudio kicks out. Claudio still looks strong. He can still go throw shit, but Adam Cole just wins instead of, you know, winning with all these fucking roll-ups.
Yeah.
It's a lot of roll-ups. I will say this, the average viewer is not going to know that this happened, but we cover this every week. So we watch it and we pay attention to it. And I don't even, like, literally, I don't watch most wrestling with a critical eye. I'm just trying to enjoy it. But, I mean, the Daniel Garcia title reign just happened. It's still in my head that he won a lot of matches by roll-up because I made the point during on the show that he was winning a lot of matches by roll-up.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. I'm just letting you know. I was like, I wasn't even trying to critique. It was just as soon as the hit 3, and I was like, roll up again?
I know. There's a quick little match between LFI against some local talent, and then we get the Ring of Honor World TV Championship match between Nick Wayne and Commander. Immediately, Commander gets gum in his face from Nick Wayne, not accepting the Code of Honor. And yeah. This was probably Nick Wayne's best match in AEW. Like, singles-wise, I think this was a really big moment for him, and he was able to just really, really come out and just do some good stuff. The crowd with Whose Mom, Nick's Mom was a very lovely touch, I thought was very funny. And I loved how he was able to just, you know, catch Commander's high-flying speed and just counter it the way that he does. Commander still using his agility to be able to just do some really dope shit. But Nick Wayne being able to really just kind of meet him at the pass in a lot of it. And at the end of it, though, there's a great dragon suplex that he hit at one point. And then eventually Commander is able to try to go up and fly off the ropes, but he gets kicked in the face and then gets hit with a prodigy plex. And Nick Wayne becomes the new Ring of Honor television champion. And Tony Schiavone mentions it as him being the youngest singles champion ever, which I'd have to actually look into that to see if that's true. But I mean, you know,
not youngest singles champion ever. I think that may be true.
Yeah, I'd have to make sure that's true.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Younger to be win a singles title. I was like, there was Nicholas in the WWE, but he was a tag champion.
He was a tag champion.
He wasn't a singles champion. Yeah. So you know, they listen. You know, they know the sickos are watching. So I'm gonna assume that they actually fact check this.
I will assume that too. I will definitely still look into it. But yeah, Nick Wayne, the new Ring of Honor TV champion, and with the feud that he's been kind of slowly looking like he's building with Christian, I love this for Nick. I think it's a big little moment for him.
And he gets to go be in the Best of Super Juniors. I thought there was an outside chance he could win. If you would have said, Floyd, put some money on it, my money would have still went on Commander. So I'm not saying I predicted this or anything. I thought there was an outside chance he could win. And when he won, it like I was shocked, and it kind of popped me. And he hit Prodigy Plex. And you know what I saw in this match? I saw the frame, and I saw the movement. And I like between the promo that he cut on the night and then this match, and how a lot of times when people work with luchadors, you know, there's a dude was in the right position. This is me going into like just something I noticed as a fan. He was in the right position every time Commander flew. And I know there are wrestlers 10, 15 years his senior that don't know how to work with luchadors as well as Nick Wayne worked tonight. And I just really saw it there. And like when I was watching it, I was like, one day when his grown man body comes in, it's, you know, it's coming. When he gets that grown man weight on it, there is going to be a Prodigy versus Proto Star match. And I think the world will celebrate. I just like, I don't know why. I was just like, man, him and Kyle Fletcher are going to fucking kill it one day.
Yeah, no, those two guys.
I don't even know why Kyle Fletcher popped in my head, but I think it's the frame. Because when I was introduced to Kyle Fletcher, he was like skinny and small and like that. But you saw the ability, but he had no like physique on him. And now he looks like that now. And that's the progression I see for Nick Wayne.
Yeah, I could see that going that case as well. But yeah, I thought this was a huge moment for him, and I was very happy for Nick Wayne, my best just of friends. We had a nice little moment where Top Flight got a match announced for next week's Collision, where they're going to be facing Action Andretti and Leo Rush, CRU, in a tornado tag match on Collision next week. And then we moved into the main event, tag match between Harley Cameron and Mercedes Moné, facing off against Chris Statlander and Julia Hart. We had a backstage promo earlier in the night where we had Miss Puppet Moné have a little appearance too, which made me laugh. And I was very taken aback when Julia Hart was the one that wants to try to kind of put her foot on Puppet Moné. I'm like, Julia, I was just starting to really be like, yeah, and then you want to do this? Fuck you. Little points where it was kind of looking like, you know, maybe a little sloppy at points, but for the most part, I thought this was really solid. I thought these girls did a great job. I loved how Toni Storm was on commentary too, because she is just absolutely spectacular. There were some nice strength moments with Chris Statlander really trying to show off her strength in this match. And I thought everyone got a moment to do some really cool stuff. And I loved how Moné was being held, basically choked up by Julia Hart, and had to watch Statlander beat Harley Cameron to get the win. Like I said, Statlander, I felt like, did a lot of the big stuff in this, actually. I love my girl Harley, but Statlander was really trying to show off just, like, how strong she was. And I thought with everyone involved, she did. And then the moment of when Toni Storm then is off commentary and they do a little stare down with everybody was a nice little ending to the show. And yeah, I thought this was pretty damn solid. It had some of the best women's wrestlers that AEW has on their roster right now going at it. Continuing to see Harley get better day by day. I'm telling you, man, when she gets her way back into the championship picture, I think she's going to be right there for the taking. And Julia, another person who's getting like to show how good she's been too, and just continues to be a permanent staple, I feel like, in their women's division. It's never been better, dude. The women's division has never been better for AEW. I firmly believe that. And it's just cool to see. And it's nice to see them close off the show. A really, really nice follow-up to an incredible Dynamite was a really solid Collision, I would say.
All right. And I definitely saw this match, thought it was good. I got to say this. This is going to be a hot take, which I'm not really a hot take guy, but I have a hot take that Toni Storm's commentary is distracting from the match.
Mm.
She makes a lot of sexual innuendos. And yeah, I'm more paying attention to that sometimes than I am the match. And I have to refocus myself because I'm just like listening to her so hard to see what she's going to say again. Again, if you don't agree and it doesn't bother you, I completely understand. I'm not asking them to stop or anything. I'm just saying for me, as a fan watching the show, I found myself getting distracted by her commentary a couple times.
I can understand that a little bit. Because, she does take up a lot of attention for it, for sure.
Yes. And she gets her quips in and stuff. And I'm waiting on the next one. And I'm waiting what she's going to say. And it's just like, maybe that's me. Maybe that's the ADD in me, which, yes, I'm very much that way. But I was just like, it's a little distracting to me. But keep doing what you're doing, Toni. You're probably... I don't know if there's anybody in the company more over than Toni Storm, so there should be nothing changed by her presentation. That was just me having a little thought right there. Okay,
fair enough.
But that the match was great. Collision, another great show. I got to shout out Drainmaker, aka Drain Bamager. You know, he be starting shit sometimes on Twitter.
He be starting shit.
But sometimes he just has helpful information. And the youngest champions in ROH history, Mark Briscoe was 18 years, 287 days when he became the tag team champion for the first time. Billy Starks was 19 years and 118 days when she became ROH Women's Television Champion. And Nick Wayne, 19 years, 277 days, ROH TV champion. So there is your facts were checked right there. So just thought I'd throw
that. So maybe youngest male.
Youngest champion. Maybe, yeah, maybe they left out a word there. Yes, youngest male singles champion in ROH history. It would be hard to beat Billy Starks without just basically winning a title out of the womb. So, yeah. so, I mean,
she is a literal fetus.
Yeah, 19 years. Into 19 years, 118 days, she was barely 19. She won it. I'm like, dude, like, yeah, she is very, 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 very young. So, this is great. I'm down with it. As far as this match, I'm loving that the women's are getting their moment in the main event of some shows. Mercedes is a draw. This was Boston. It just makes sense that she main events one of the shows. It just makes sense. And Harley Cameron, you know, again, when you just talk about acts in AEW, there's not too many better acts than Harley Cameron. Just
nope.
She is just, I even say she reminds me of I actually was going to say a female R-Truth, but there's an actual direct female comparison by the name of Chelsea Green in the WWE.
Yes.
Every time she's on TV, you pay attention, she entertains you, she excites you, and it's like one day they're gonna flip the switch on her, she's gonna start winning, and the world will rejoice.
I will be the biggest rejoicer, for sure.
Yes.
That was a spring breakthrough again, guys, and I think that's actually, I don't know if we have any other things we want to touch on other than what we did, unless there's anything that we missed, Floyd?
Dude, you know what? I was thinking about doing some other stuff. I'm gonna let's call it a show.
Let's call it.
I mean, I think our last show was a little long, so you know, let's call this one. Let's call this a show.
It's a show that was truly a legitimate, real victory lap for AEW and pro wrestling, man, dude. It's never been better at this point, man. We've been waiting for these good times for AEW for a minute. And it's good to have them at this point in time, man. And, you know, again, we just love it when the wrestling world has, you know, the ability to have this nice little ecosystem that we have where, you know, again, there's consistent work for wrestlers to find at a major market for sustainable pay and a living wage. Like, this is where we want it to be. And the content is great too. It's giving us what we want as wrestling fans. And, you know, I love the fact that we've reached this point, dude. And, you know, everyone gets to dunk on Eric Bischoff for about a week now. So, you know, y'all have fun with that. So,
I got some sick joy out of his heartfelt, out of his half-hearted congratulations to Tony Khan.
That was through gritted teeth.
Yeah, that was through gritted teeth. But yeah.
Yep. So that, though, I think, folks, is going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, thank you so much for supporting the show and joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, continue to support it. Download our show on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Turn automatic downloads on. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And follow us on Twitter at @ATElitePod. You can also follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible, and check out all the other great shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And with that, I will let my buddy Floyd go ahead and take us home for this episode of All Things Elite.
Well, I hope everyone enjoys WrestleMania this week. I'm hoping those poor underdogs at the WWE can pull out a decent wrestling show. But I want to say this, man, support your people, support your friends. There's a lot of people at the shows. Be happy for them. Try to, some people can't make it. I'm not even talking about me in this thing, which I know some people want to go to WrestleMania and see other people. They're like, oh my God, I wish I was them. Well, it may be one of you one day, and when you go, you're going to want people to celebrate you. So take this time to celebrate, excite them, support them, retweet them, quote tweet them, tell them you're happy for them, because guess what? When putting that positive energy out in the world, that positive energy is going to come back. And with that, I will leave you how I always leave you, whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.